How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another installment of the Prospect Report presented by ProspectsWorldwide.com. My name is Drake Mann. You can follow me on Twitter at DrakeMann4. And I got another weekly Arizona Complex League podcast for you all. I got to see three games this week, or actually four games. Sorry, miscounted because I do consider Mondays to be a part of this week. So I was able to have not one team repeat as well. So all the teams are different. And I was able to go to, like I said, four games this week. So sit back, relax, and enjoy hearing about some of what the best that I saw this week. And at the very end, I'll talk about some pitchers, a couple pitchers. I'll talk about basically one or the other, like a versus, to see who I prefer. And this is just a doozy of an episode. So, like I said, sit back, relax, get some popcorn. I don't know if you people listen to podcasts and eat popcorn, but if you do, go right ahead. So, for me, the teams watched this week were the Giants versus the Padres, the Rangers versus the Reds. That was on a Saturday morning where it was, 110 degrees, and that was very uncomfortable, but that's okay. Rockies versus the Angels and Guardians versus the White Sox. So I will say a bat from each team and go through all that, but first I'd like to talk about the top bats this week. So number one on my list is going to be a Giants prospect, Lizbel Diaz. The 18-year-old has really come into his own as one of the probably better bats out here. But right now he's currently slashing 355, 440, 597 with a 1.037 OPS, a 467 weighted on base average, and a 157 weighted runs created plus. And that is thanks to arguably his best game that I have seen in person. He had a 4-for-4 day, two doubles, a home run, and a single. But one thing that I've been wanting to see from him was more power and, two doubles that were almost exactly the same, which was really crazy seeing it live. But basically, they were both left center and they both like one hopped the wall. And then I got a nice open side shot that currently is on our Prospect Worldwide's Twitter. Again, go follow us at Prospects World W. I'm putting all my footage on there, and soon we'll be putting it some of our footage, or I should say, at the end of ACL, we will put all of my footage on our YouTube, and that is just going to be Prospects Worldwide. And go subscribe to that. And so let's get back to Lizbel Diaz here. But I've been wanting to see some power. I've been wanting to see some barrels, some just something from him, because I knew that he looked really interesting, but I just did not see anything in the hit tool previous times. But like I said, this time he showed some amazing pop, hitting a monster home run to left center. And his swing, if you guys have not seen it before, it's very simple. He keeps his hands quiet. Bat path has a little loft, but it's mainly meant to do line drive damage. But he's quiet, raw power, something else when he makes contact. Just different sound off the bat. And he also from the first time I saw him to this last time I saw him, which would have been about three times in total, he made some major adjustments. Sorry about that. He made some major adjustments. And he wasn't as free swingy as the first time I saw him. And that's good in his development with Lizbel Diaz. And I'm really hyped to see him again. And I hope that he continues on this path, because he is a very interesting prospect. And the hit tool and the power potential are starting to come together for Lizbel Diaz. Okay, so number two on my list is actually from the Reds. It is 14th rounder from 2023, Kyle Henley. And Henley is a type of prospect where I just don't see too much power producing for him. I see him more as like a contact speed guy, because he has incredible speed. He has nice acceleration out of the box, really quick down the line. But real quick, let's just get into some of the numbers here. He hit 270, or he's hitting 276, 347, 410 with a 757 OPS, a 359 weighted on base average, and a 95 weighted runs created plus. And like I said, he's not really the power type of prospect, but he did have a two hit day, and his contact tool, like I was saying, stood out the most. But the best tool he has is his speed. Like I was saying, good acceleration, quick down the line, and he should rack up stolen bases left and right. I actually was able to see one of his stolen bases. He's a super athletic kid. And something else that he did was he just doesn't try to do too much. And what I mean by that is, like, big spot, bases loaded. Some guys go up there, they're trying to hit a home run or trying to hit a ball hard. He just goes up there, and he had a sacrifice fly, but he hit it actually to the warning track, dead center. But I love the swing path, and I really do think that Kyle Hendley is one of the rising guys for the Reds. I do wonder how long he'll be out here, because he is a little bit older for this league at 19 years old, and he has shown that he can hit this league and what he can do at low A. He'll probably be one of those guys where he will finish at Arizona Complex League and then get some time in low A after Complex League is done. But yeah, Kyle Hendley of the Reds is one guy I would start getting hyped about. But anyway, number three on my list is from the Rockies. And I have not talked about the Rockies enough because I haven't seen them a lot. This would be the third time I've seen them. And I saw them yesterday, which would have been Monday 6/17, so June 17th. But basically, he is 19 years old, and he is currently slashing 292, 362, 354 with a 716 OPS, a 348 weighted on base average, and an 88 weighted runs created plus. And this is another guy that I don't see a lot of power in his bat, but the contact tool is definitely there. Yesterday, he had a three-hit day. Two of those three hits were barrels. The sound that came off of his bat, his first hit, actually sounded like a cannon was going off. It was that loud. But it was really interesting because I didn't see a lot of his hit when I first saw him the first two times. He was very passive. He was very, like, just trying to draw a walk. But yesterday, he was swinging early in the count, and it was kind of crazy that he goes and has a three-hit day after that. But love the bat speed, and the contact tool looked good. And just want to talk about his defensive type of stuff. Basically, I love the arm strength. I love the field of mechanics. His arm is good. Basically, he doesn't have a lot of effort when he's thrown across the diamond, has good throwing mechanics, and both the throws that I saw were extremely accurate. But either way, the Rockies have yet another shortstop prospect coming through their system. And this is just a little transition into what I want to talk about next, with the Rockies just absolutely killing the J2 signing period the last, I would say like last 3, 4, 5 years, because they got some of their best prospects in their system in the J2 signing period of 2019 with Adele Amador and Yanquel Fernandez. 2022, they got Diane Jorge and another guy that's out here, Derek Bernard, who's foreshadowing. I am foreshadowing, but he will be on my list, and I'll talk about him a little bit later. And 2023, they got Robert Calaz, who, again, another top guy out here, and Kelvin Hidalgo. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many more guys that I could have mentioned. The ACL Rockies have killed the J2 signing period. And they're, to be honest, their system used to be a big old laughing stock, and now their system's really good. And it just keeps getting better with more and more guys like Kelvin Hidalgo. and Derek Bernard and Robert Kalas just joining that system. But anyway, those are the top three bats that I observed this week with Lizbel Diaz, Kyle Henley, and Kelvin Hidalgo. Now let's move on with the best bats that I did not mention for each team. Now, just a quick reminder with these best bats not mentioned. Three of the guys that I'm mentioning, their actual stats for the season are kind of terrible. But when you factor in how bad some of the teams are out here, it's quite hard or difficult to actually pinpoint a decent bat on some of these teams when you see them live and may possibly only see them, you know, once a week. But other than that, let's just keep going forward here with the Giants. We're going to start with them. And I'm going to go with the prospect that basically did the same exact thing as Lizbel Diaz in Derwin Lea. And he is 20 years old. He's spent multiple years out here at Complex League. I've talked a lot about him before, how he's built like a tank, how there's some raw power in his bat. And the one thing I want to just touch on after I talk about the stats is, right now, he is currently slashing 289, 348, 316 with a 664 OPS, a 350 weighted on base average, and an 80 weighted runs created plus. But Leia is a prospect that I don't know why he's still out here, just because the underlying numbers are okay. But the one thing for me is kind of like what I was talking about with Felton and Celestin, is the power should be more eminent with him. Like Derwin Lea, like I said, is built like a tank. He's massive and he's built. Like he's a little bit stockier, but when he hits the ball and he hits it well, it's strong, it's in a gap, it's somewhere else. But then there's times where he swings out of his zone and like rolls over or hits a ground ball or something. So that's probably why he's still out here, because I know the last few years he's been numbers-wise a really good contributor for the ACL Giants, but he just has not gone anywhere. He's basically been stuck at the Arizona Complex League, and I think it's because he really doesn't have that much power, but he has a lot of raw power. So it's really interesting to see how the Giants are going to work with Derwin Lea and progress him forward with his confusing lack of power. However, I will say the last time I saw him, the two doubles in the gap, one hopping the wall, there's the power that I know the Giants want to see out of him. But anyway, let's keep going here with the Padres. And the Padres are one of the teams that I have seen probably the most because I live closest to their stadium. I live, I think, 10, 15 minutes from their stadium, if that. But I'm going to go with Yandri Rojas. He was one of the only contributors of the game that I saw for the Padres. And the Padres have a lot of older prospects for Complex League out here, which is probably why they're probably among the best teams record-wise out here. But so it's really hard to pinpoint one actual guy to talk about. And I've talked about him before. Many people consider him still a really big prospect in the system. But I'm going to go with Yandri Rojas, the 19-year-old. And currently he is slashing 253, 354, 301 with a 655 OPS, a 332 weighted on base average, and a 79 weighted runs created plus. And in my previous podcast, I talked about his lack of power and how his raw power is starting to show up because of the last time I saw him before this week. He had like a double to dead center that one hopped the wall, just stuff like that. But I will say he does still hit the ball on the ground quite a bit. And he has bat speed. He has barreling abilities. He has a decent contact tool. His speed is something to dream on for Padre fans. But it's just the whole entire hitting tough on the ground, just weak contact at times. But I will say his hit was a double down the right field line. And yeah, he's also another guy that struggles with some swing and miss. But in my opinion, he does have the contact potential and speed to make up for it. But I just don't know really how much of an impact he will make going forward for the Padres. Now, moving forward to the Reds. And the guy that I'm going to pick for the Reds is one of their other 2023 guys out here who's consistently in the lineup. And I'm going to go with 16th rounder Bernard Moon, who's 19 years old. He's currently slashing 310, 426, 381 with an 807 OPS, a 405 weighted on base average, and a 121 weighted runs created plus. And he had a two-hit day. He had a jam shot hit and then a base hit right back up the middle. And something with him is, if you guys don't know me, I am a huge fan of guys that can adjust later in counts and get the same pitch that they previously swung and missed at or didn't read the spin on. But he did that against the ACL Rangers. I think he was facing Logan Bursick Harrington, who I will also talk about later. There's some more foreshadowing for you. And it was a cutter on the edge that he swung and missed at. The next pitch, same pitch, cutter on the edge, outer edge. And he kind of hit it right back up the middle for a base hit. But I love his stroke, short, quick to the ball. Hits the ball where it's pitched and showed some speed. Defensively, he ended a game with a double play ball. Doesn't really get too flustered. Looks really good out here. And that is only the second time I've seen the Reds, so I'm hoping to see them a little bit more because I really wish I watched them more because I wanted to watch more Sammy Stafura. But, oh well, that's life. I'll get over it. So, for the Rangers, I went with one of their top guys out here because the game that I saw them, really none of their top guys were hitting, but there was a big hit by one of their bigger guys who has some family heritage in baseball, and I'm going to go with Pablo Guerrero, the 17-year-old, who currently is slashing 265, 330, 459 with a 789 OPS, a 361 weighted on base average, and a 96 weighted runs created plus. And I've talked about him before, but to me, he's a typical all power and limited contact bat. And I hate saying that because, you know, the Guerrero heritage has been about power, but they've also been more like just hitting the ball really hard places. I just don't know how Pablo Guerrero does with the limited contact and with his contact tool, even though I know he is 17 in this league. Yeah, and yes, I know he is still 17 in this league, younger than a lot of the competition. But I will say, like I said, all he does is hit the ball hard and makes adjustments in the count. But he does hit the ball on the ground a lot. But the raw power in his bat is something to really get hyped on with Pablo Guerrero, because even his ground balls are just hard hit. It's going to be all power for Pablo going forward. I don't really think he'll hit for a high average at the next level. He might get on base at a high rate, but anything down in the dirt will get him. Even if it's a subpar curveball, it'll still get a swing and miss out of him. But maybe going forward, he makes some type of adjustments and starts getting more of a contact profile and making his contact tool stick out a little bit more. Okay, so next on the list is from the Rockies, and I kind of foreshadowed that I was going to talk about him, and it is 18-year-old Derek Bernard, who currently is slashing 287, 374, 415 with a 789 OPS, a 378 weighted on base average, and a 105 weighted runs created plus. And speaking of raw power in a bat, this is Derek Bernard. He had a two-hit day yesterday. One was a double into the right center gap, which he pulled, and he nearly hit it out. It hit the fence. And then the other one, it might have been a triple, though. I can't really remember off the top of my head, but it was either a double or a triple, and he hit it off the actual fence. The other one was a line shot to left center field, just spraying the ball well yesterday. And again, just the sound off of the bat of Derek Bernard was crazy. But showed some raw power, like I'm just said. But something really interesting with Derek Bernard is that he has a little hand movement just going straight back. And that's like, it's even before he starts to swing at all. His hands kind of shift backwards a little bit just to make sure that his hands stay back on the ball and that he's able to generate as much power as he can into the ball. But in my opinion, Derek Bernard is someone to watch out here for the ACL Rockies, but he does have a lot of swing and miss. And when I mean a lot, I mean a lot of swing and miss. But he is one guy that if he can figure that out, that hit tool, like everything should come together with Derek Bernard. And he is an outfield prospect, so he does have plenty of opportunity going forward, especially in Coors. I haven't even mentioned that with any of these guys. Derek Bernard's bat in Coors Field would play extremely well because of his ability to hit the gap to gap as well. But yeah, Derek Bernard, solid prospect out here. And I'm going to stop talking about the Rockies and move to the Angels, who, surprisingly, they actually won yesterday. They nearly blew a four-run lead, but for the Angels, there's not a lot of guys out here for lineups. I will say John Wimmer is the guy that I'm going with, and his slash line right now is not the best at all. He's hitting 157, 263, 200 with a 463 OPS, a 246 weighted on base average, and a 30 weighted runs created plus. And I will admit, I'm not the highest on Wimmer. I remember there was somebody at the game I was talking to, and his name is Garbett Media on Instagram. Go give him a follow. He's a pretty new content creator, but he takes pictures of ACL. He'll probably go out there for Arizona Fall League. I don't really know, but he is a really cool dude. And we were just talking, and this was after John Wimmer had a triple in the left center gap, and he basically excluded, yeah, he really needed that. And I just simply said, I'm like, I'm not the high guy on him. I don't know if he has a contact profile to be a solid contributor going forward. I mean, anything in the dirt will get him a swing and miss. And I was kind of right, but I kind of wasn't right. He had a two-hit night yesterday, a double down the right field line, triple in the left center gap. But his strikeouts, every time I've seen him strike out, were just bad. Like yesterday, his last strikeout of the night was a slider down and away that had no business being swung at, and he swung at it. So I've seen people say that it was a really confusing pick with John Wimmer going to the Angels, and he does have a ton of swing and miss. But I kind of see the potential in John Wimmer. But after a two extra base hit day, that is the best that I have seen of him so far. And now with one of my favorite prospects out here, and it's taken me a little bit to hop on his train, but I'm going to go with the White Sox here with Javier Magallon. And I talked about him last podcast, but he has just really impressed me lately. Here, as an 18-year-old, he is hitting 205, 353, 458 with an 811 OPS, a 377 weighted on base average, and a 105 weighted runs created plus. He had a two-hit day, and something that I talked about last time, I got to see a home run from him. and it was poolside, beautiful swing. This time he almost came close to another home run, but he hit it off the wall. But love the bat speed. I talked about him previously where he can adjust to find the barrel. He does that better than anyone out here not named Felton Celestin, in my opinion. But I know a lot of people are hyped on Javier Magallon, and right now, in my opinion, he's the best White Sox prospect out here. And you know what? I'm going to kind of skip the Guardians guy and come straight back to him, because I'm just in a debate, because I've talked about both of them. Javier Magallon versus Kelvin Hidalgo, who would I rather have going forward? Well, as of right now, Kelvin Hidalgo has the better stat line for those people that love stats. But Kevin Hidalgo does have the better hit tool overall, but Javier Magallon not only has more power for his size, but has more raw power, but for his size, he has more power than Kelvin Hidalgo. And he does everything else that Hidalgo does better than what the stats show, in my opinion. But, and honestly, going forward, this might be more foreshadowing, this is just the episode of foreshadowing, I guess. But he might be one of the better hitters out here. I do a list every year. He might be in between like 5 to 7 to 10 on my list. So it'll be very interesting how Magallon finishes his 2024 season here at ACL. But in my opinion, if literally I had to pick right this second, I'm picking Javier Magallon. And it's really hard because both of them have looked really good out here. Now for the Guardians, and this is another 17-year-old prospect. I've talked about him a lot, but the game that I saw the Guardians, not one of them really hit well. They lost like 6-2, 7-2, something like that. And I think they had like 4 hits in total. And 2 of them were by 20 and 21-year-old prospects. So I really was limited there. But Jonathan Martinez at 17, again, stat line, not good at all. Hitting 118, 340, 176 with a 517 OPS, a 301 weighted on base average, and a 61 weighted runs created plus. And I observed a 2-run double over the center fielder's head and a hard line out to left field. But the significance of that was the previous pitch was the same exact pitch that he whiffed on, and he was late. It wasn't even close. It was like a 3-1 count, getting a fastball. It was a perfectly spotted fastball on the outside, and Martinez hit it to left, whiffed on it. Then the next thing was the same exact pitch, maybe a little bit more towards the corner, but Jonathan Martinez hit it well to left field, and he made a very good adjustment. Like I said, huge fan of players that are able to make adjustments later in counts, and I love his ability to go the other way. I've seen it multiple times, and overall, he looks really natural at short as well. So I do think that Jonathan Martinez will repeat ACL. Because, you know, the expected or the stat line right now is just terrible. But overall, I think that he is very unlucky because of stuff like that, where he'll just line a ball right to the left fielder. And overall, the Guardians do have probably the youngest team out here. And I know I've kind of said that before, but they are all struggling. Not one of them is really hitting well, but so the Guardians might have a lot of the same guys this time next year because they are all struggling. But it remains to be seen. There's still plenty of season to go for Arizona Complex League. But now, let me just recap that portion for you guys. Best bats not mentioned for the Giants, we had Derwin Lea, Padres, Yandy Rojas. Reds, Bernard Moon. Rangers, Pablo Guerrero. Rockies, Derek Bernard. Angels, John Wimmer. White Sox, Javier Magallon. And Guardians, Jonathan Martinez. And in my debate of Javier Magallon versus Kevin Hidalgo, or Kelvin Hidalgo, Javier Magallon is a guy that I would choose right now if you force me to. Now, just to finish up this podcast, I have two pitchers I'd like to talk about. And the first one is a guy that I guarantee you no one has heard of. Or maybe you have. If you have, you get 5 Drake points, because even I, when I was doing my research for this year, had no clue who he was. But he was signed last year, 2023, as an undrafted free agent. But his stuff looked really good. His control got a little subpar as his outing went on, but I think it's because of how much movement he was generating with his pitches. But in his outing was 2 innings pitched, 3 earned, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And the 3 earned, he did give up a home run to Luis Chevalier, and Chevalier has been out here for 3 straight years, and he's probably not going to amount to a lot, to be honest. But what interested me was his cutter. It was just this little cutter that he would start on the corner and break it off the plate. He generated so many whiffs with that. And if it wasn't for really them starting to figure him out because of his control, I think he would have had a perfect 2 innings of work. But he got out of a big spot. He came in like a bases loaded jam, got a strikeout, and then threw a cutter away and got a double play ball. And then his second inning, he got 2 outs on strikeouts. And then that's when really everything started to fly south for him, as he was not consistently throwing strikes. And that was just weird, because his, like I said, control got very wonky, leading some bad counts, pitching behind, and he missed one spot, and it would turn out to be a 2-run home run for Luis Chevalier. But he did not throw 1 2-seamer the entire time that I saw him. And he throws to end the inning, or get a strikeout when he needed it, a 2-seamer. And it was a really nasty pitch. He started it down the middle, and the natural run that he got on it got a swing and miss of Alfredo Alcantara, or Alcantara, my bad. But I'm not going to generate a lot of hype on him. He did look really good. I like the stuff, but he is a relief pitcher. I don't see him anything more than that. But Logan Bursick-Harrington, it was really interesting to see an undrafted free agent who's out here kind of pitching. He's pitching okay for them this year, but we'll see what the end feels like for – we'll see what the ending – of his season looks like. And my last pitcher that I want to talk about is Cole Schoenwetter of the Reds. And Schoenwetter was the Reds' 4th round pick in 2023. And let me just, before I keep going, I just have to say, he has an amazing mustache now. It was kind of funny, because before I got there, I saw that Schoenwetter was throwing. I looked at the picture that MLB has of him, and then to now, and he has this like little handlebar mustache. He's not clean shaved. It's really funny, but he did have some really funky mechanics, in my opinion. But his breaking stuff was crazy good. From what I was hearing, he was sitting around 93-ish in his outing. But one of his few blemishes on a very good game of 3 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 earned, 5 Ks, was the 4 walks that he surrendered and just his control consistency. He was constantly pitching behind, much like I was saying with Logan Bursick-Harrington. He was consistently pitching behind, and he just had to throw a lot more pitches than I don't think he even wanted to. But something interesting was he faced Pablo Guerrero twice. And I swear, he made Pablo Guerrero look like he did not know how to swing a baseball bat, those two at-bats. Because it was nothing but breaking balls and sliders down in the dirt, and I think he blew one fastball by Pablo Guerrero. But I do like what I see, what I saw from Cole Schoenwetter. And Reds fans, you guys might have something really nice here, especially once that control starts to get a lot better. But overall, I think that was a very informative podcast. I cannot wait. Tonight, I'm going to go try to see the Guardians rookie lefty, Jacob Bresnahan. I'm hoping that I'm able to go to Goodyear and go see him face the Athletics. And I'm hoping to see the Athletics because they're the only team that I have yet to see. But and if I'm able to, that'll be the last team. I won't have to worry about seeing anybody else. So overall, I hope everybody enjoyed this little podcast. I cannot wait for next week's. I hope everybody has a safe week. As a reminder, just go follow Prospects Worldwide. We're really trying hard to get more content out, like this ACL content. I'm trying to get more complex league for you guys. And once Arizona Fall League comes out, I will be at Arizona Fall League games as well. But again, our Twitter at Prospects WorldW. We have an Instagram with the same title as Prospects Worldwide. We have a YouTube, Prospects Worldwide. All of our game footage is put on all of those platforms. I had a really nice time doing this. And can't wait for next week. And everybody, for you fathers out there, happy late Father's Day. And have a great day to everybody. Peace.